Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you even for this time that we have by your mercy to study thy word, to hear your preaching. We pray, Lord God, that you activate your faith in us concerning your truth as we will glean from your word. Have mercy, Lord. Let your word reprove us of sin. Instruct us in righteousness. In every way that a man of God may be thoroughly furnished, even unto all good works. Have mercy, Lord. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Our lesson today is titled The Triumphant Procession. Triumphant processions, and we'll be taking our lead from Psalm 68. Psalm 68. So last week, we started a series of Psalms, and my own take is that people use the Psalms for different reasons. But you find out that these Psalms, mainly written by David in particular, you know, then some of them by the priest, some by Solomon, I think. But you ask yourself, why? Why the Psalms? Why these writings? You know? And sometimes if we go into history, like the one we read of Judah, Judges. You find how the Judges came about. It was the Lord had handed over to Joshua. Joshua finished his course and died. And there was no prophet leader anymore. And prior to these two characters, Moses and Joshua living, the Lord called them and told them what will happen when both of them eventually will pass on. That these children will, that is the children of Israel will, as it were, turn away from the faith. You know, they will turn away from God. The land that he has been leading them from, the Exodus, that when they get there, these ones will embrace the population of that place. They will not, in effect, obey what God's commandment is to them, verbatim, that they should clear out the land, clear out the people, clear out the idols. And we found out that when Joshua left, just as the Lord prophesied, the children of God just stagnated. They refused to carry out the instructions, and they let go. They started living with or accepting the idolaters whom God had sent them to judge. And of course, this also triggered what God himself said he will do, that he will leave them alone, and those foreigners, those Gentiles, will come in and, you know, as it were, take over the Israelites and all that. But yet, you find out that God did not totally abandon them, because his word has gone forth. God did not totally abandon them, and he gave them judges, individuals that come up from time to time and lead them in the way of the Lord. And sometimes some of their reigns can span 40 years, 20 years, but they were with them, and these ones were like enforcers of the commandments of God. So in the early stages of the judges, Lady Deborah came forth and prophesied. She was a prophetess, and you know, it is when you read it, read your story, it's all, as we see when we read the Psalms, is messianic. You know, the Psalms will tell us that. And she called on Barak that he should go forth, and this is the word of the Lord. Go and do as the Lord has said. Go and destroy these foreigners from your midst. They had a king, a terrible guy called Jabin, who was dealing with them at that time. And Jabin had his own champion called Sisera, or, you know, And she prophesied to Jabin, to Barak, that Barak should go, that the Lord was with him. And Barak said he can't go unless Deborah follows him. And she said, a woman will come one day and take the glory, you know, that is supposed to be yours. Of course, these things, they didn't know the import, and we too didn't know the import. And the lady's name is Jahel. And then towards the end of the battle, where they were chasing Sisera, you know, he fell in the hands of the lady, Jahel. And imagine all that. We'll see, hopefully, by grace, God, see it in the Psalms. And she dealt with Jabin. She killed Jabin, you know. And she was recognized and what she did, you know. Praise the Lord. But this, you see in effect, when the song of Deborah was sung, she was seeing God as the one leading the children of Israel in all this. The same way God led them from Exodus, from Egypt to Jerusalem. As it were, God rises and leads his people. The question is, do we see God today doing that in our lives? Do we see God standing up and leading us on a daily basis? Another story in the Psalm we are going to read is that of David, who also went to get the ark from Obed-Edom's house and did the procession to take the ark to Jerusalem, to where he has prepared. And you see the joy in knowing that God is with them. If we don't have this joy in us, these psalms will make any meaning. The reason I'm going through all this is to try and get us to see that even though these things physically happened, and even though these characters believed in God, future, but for us, this is truth and reality now. The metaphors might seem far, but Revelation is a funny book. The same physical things we thought that we didn't see, only by imagination, the clouds, God rising up and leading them, Revelation confirms that these things physically will happen again. So the question is, do you look forward to see the God coming in the clouds? Like he did when he led the children out of Egypt, the cloud that led them by day. And you see the words of Moses, you know, as we read, do we look forward to that time again? Do we look forward to seeing, do we believe that God leads us on a daily basis? And hence, understanding this, we too cry out in joy in our own battles over sin as God leads us. Do we see this on a daily basis? In the morning, Moses will say, oh, let's read the psalm. He says, let God arise, Psalm 68:1. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. This is actually was first spoken by Moses. Before they move in the day to move the ark, to move in their journey, Moses will pray this, let God arise. Imagine they were in charge of physically driving out peoples from the land, facing daily battles. It was a daily fight. So before they go, Moses prays this, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. When we wake up in a daily basis, do we call God? We know that our battle is sin. That's our battle. The main battle for those who have met the Lord Jesus Christ is sin. Each day you sleep, no activity, then you wake up, activity starts. Do you go at it by yourself? Or do you like Moses and Deborah? Because she also repeated the same thing. I've seen that without God going before you, you can do nothing. Every day of your life, every day of our lives, do we call God to arise? Let the devils that cause us to sin and offend him, let them flee before him. Imagine that imagery. Let God stand, the Almighty God. And as wherever he takes his path, you come behind. And he's clearing the path, dealing with all the evils that befall us, all the temptations you will face on a daily basis. Each time you prepare your mind, today I will not sin, I will not do this. Without God, it's almost we are joking. And perhaps we have tried it. Say, today I will not fight bus conductors today. If they insult me, I will not reply them. You do all those things. But first of all, is to recognize that these are the daily evils we face. And these things need to be cleared from our path. And only God arising can clear them. Even many that we cannot even see or imagine. They just come. You know, the devil is subtle. But we serve a God who has gone before. Follow him. Let him arise. Let all enemies of sin, wickedness, let them be scattered. Let them flee from before him. Let God arise. And if you know this, you will be joyful. And you will call on him for this purpose. Because you understand that this day, Lord, I don't know what is ahead. Imagine, you don't know what is ahead. But God that sees everything already knows what is ahead. Why not let's pray to him to take you through paths of righteousness? As I'm saying this, the sounds will just be coming out. That's how it is. They couldn't see the way the Israelites. They had to pray. And God is the one who will tell them, go this way, go that way. All that he might achieve his purpose for telling them to move from Sinai, to move from Egypt into Jerusalem, Canaan, the glorious land. Two, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Nothing can stand before God. Evil, no. Look, I like smoke. Things that are ephemeral. The challenges we face in our individual lives. We pray that God will help us. We are all challenged in several ways. We have desires of God. And some of them are just plain evil. But let us commit it to the Lord and say, God, arise. Let that which is of your enemy, and what is the enemy of God, we know these days, friendship with the world, iniquity and sin. Are these things our concern, such that we ache? Instead of calling up God to arise on a physical human being and say, destroy all my enemies, fall down and die. It means that you have not seen your enemy. You don't know the enemy of God. Because once you do, and you tell God to arise for that purpose, genuinely, for sin, for wickedness, God arises. He sees your heart. He sees that you desire righteousness. And he answers, as in verse 3, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Who are to rejoice? The righteous. They are the ones who know that God arises for their behalf. The righteous. Let them rejoice exceedingly. Because God is clearing the path of unrighteousness from them. This is God arising in triumphant procession. He has, once he arises, this is all he does. Wickedness just flee from. You know when you read this thing, wickedness just flee. They have no choice. If God is arising and moving in a procession, wickedness flee. The light shines and all darkness goes away. But for you and I, is it that we want? Because that is the procession of God. When God moves, wickedness, unrighteousness, they they run away. They are like smoke. You know smoke? Nothing. You can't hold it. They just fizzle out. Or like a candle wax. If they think they have strength before God, they just melt away. And for you, the righteous, this should make you exceedingly glad and rejoice before God, like David is doing, right? And David's experience is more of, if you read it, when he was moving the ark, he had tried before, he had failed, but in his consideration, he now understood that they did not follow due order. They didn't regard God. So it became a challenge for him. But he was now pointing to Deborah's victory. He was now pointing to Moses' victory. That if God is arising, then all that is going to trouble them, they will what? They will scatter. 4, sing unto the Lord. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens with his name, Jah. Praise the Lord. You see, one of the things that David did was, you know, when he was going in the procession, every couple of steps they take, I think 20 cubits, I don't know, they sacrifice to God, right? Every time they were going for God was leading them. He just go, as they were making progress, they were sacrificing to God. Eventually, the Ark of Covenant got to where it was going, right? And one of the instructions David gave, in fact, that was where David wrote the first psalm and ensured that psalms were continually written on a daily basis to praise what? To praise God for his mighty works, to praise God for his presence. As we come to see, to praise God that becomes for you that which you are lacking. That is the God we serve. You say he's the father of the fatherless. He becomes a father to you in that which you are lacking. He feeds the poor. He becomes to the poor that which is lacking in the poor. Jah, Jehovah. Is it that to you? This is why David is writing the psalm. God has become his defender. God is his protector. God is his provider. That which he is unable to do, God is that to him. Is that what God is to you? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is Jesus Christ your mediator? Bible says God dwells in light that no man can approach. I want to get to God. I can't get there. I am lacking. There is a shortness or an ineptness in me. Sin. God will not accept me as I am, a fleshly man. But in Christ, God has become what? A mediator to me. Will I not praise him? Will I not shout Jah? Will that not be a reason to explode in praise? Because I understand. Even access to his presence, he has become it to me. His blood. Huh? These are the battles we face in Christianity today. Those ones in the past were in types, but this is the reality for us. So praise him, extol him. And the Bible says, he that rides upon the heavens. This is written here because in those days, the Canaanites, actually, their Baal, one of his titles was he that rides in the heavens, Baal. Baal controls the clouds and rides on it. That is how they believe Baal. But here, David is saying, the God I serve is the one that, amen, is the one that rides on the heavens. He's the one that made the heavens, all that dwells within them. And Revelation tells us, he will come again, riding in that same cloud. Eh? And like Peter, he says,
Come, you want to walk on water? Come and meet me. We too, we get to the class too and ride the class with him. Amen. This is the promises of God. And we need to rejoice. Look at 5. These are the things that God becomes to us. You can add more. But here the Bible says, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows. Widows. There is a set of people. You know the way this world is. When we're saying fathers, today is Father's Day, Abby. Praise the Lord. When the fathers pass on, it is really a challenge. Everybody arise to take advantage of the widow. Her voice just dies. Nobody to take care of her again. Worst, the children sometimes abandon them. One of the places the Bible pronounces a very terrible curse, infidel on Christians, is when they abandon their widow parents. To tell you that God does not take this lightly. God becomes to them husbands. God becomes to us such as we need. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy what? Habitation. This is how God is in heaven. This is God. To us, he is everything, as Jesus would say. He is everything to us, the Christian. And all in his arising. Call on him. Let him arise on your behalf. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Call on God. And it will be all that you need to you. Look at what he does again. 6. He setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Huh? Those who are abandoned. He is with them. For us, the ready chain that comes to us is sin, bondage of sin. God sets us free, brings them out. Wherever you have been shackled, locked down, no. God brings you out, sets you free. Besetting sin, whatever it is, and they hold you down. Masturbation, all those evil things, you know, once it's time to say, let's give, your heart at that time is most angered. It's a problem. You see, to contribute to some, those are the things that just set your mind annoyed. All you are thinking is, I'm going to, what? You justify every reason not to let change come out of your pocket. No, it's wrong. You are bound. It's bondage. You can't give with a willing heart. Part of the things we are going to read, Deborah, she talks of the elders joining the fight willingly. And 3 of those elders came from Naphtali, came from Zebulun, and one of those, they live on the outskirts. They were the ones facing the fringes. They were the ones facing those Gentiles. And they gave willingly of themselves to the work of the Lord, which was the battle. And God blessed them. God does not forget who. One of the first places that Jesus Christ came with the light of the gospel was in those cities, Zebulun, Naphtali, and I've forgotten the 3rd one. Christ arose there to preach. So ask yourself, what are you willingly giving for the Lord? We call for Bible study, we don't show up. We call for programs, we don't come. Let me tell you, from what may I have seen, God remembers to do good to the good, and he also remembers to do wicked or judge the wicked. He doesn't forget. The time it costs, yes, it's time, but it's for the same good of you, God arising on a daily basis, that these ministrations are set. How do I call on the God? Because Sam says, come God, he walks on the cloud. Oh Lord, I'm calling you. That is idolatry. He says the righteous. God is specific. Those who know him, those who believe him, those who follow him, they are the ones that come after him as he goes before them. But if you see six ending, he said, but the rebellious dwell in what? In dry land. God does not forget. If you are rebellious, that dry land of the desert, you will be there. And no manna, no quail, no what else did he give them, no rock water will get to you. You'll be in that dry land perpetually. But if you see those who are with God, he fed them, he provided water in a harsh place. We are in the harsh world now. I know Nigeria's case has, as it were, turned suddenly for the worse. Last 12 months, after they made proclamation, they didn't. I feel the man, if he can turn back his words, by now, he will wish he never said those statements that the subsidies should just go away like that. Ever since that day, that's triggered, you know, there are certain things that take place on their own. But when you go and say certain statement, you just trigger a lot of things. And today, nobody wants to hear his plea for patience. But for us, Christians, let us rejoice that we are the righteous, that the Lord will not leave to suffer in dry places with no provision. He recognizes the dry place. Don't make a mistake. That is why God is God. Right? He takes those things that seem they don't make anything, but he turns those things to his glory. So we are called for the glory of God. We are called into suffering. We are called to face these challenges. However, God shall arise. And the enemies, though they be in those situations, will indeed scatter. 7. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, is remembering the movement again from Sinai or Egypt to Jerusalem, to the promised land. So what happened when God did this? He says what? The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God. God of Israel. Sinai moved. That old mountain shook when God arose. We know the mountains bear a lot of metaphor for struggle. It's a very, you know, mountains are, you expend a lot of energy going up those things. You know. But God is, David is recognizing that when they were moving, though literally, it is true, those mountains shook. The earth quaked. God's physical presence. So when you say, Holy Ghost, I say, so people, you don't know what, go and read your Bible very well. If God will come down, you think it is joke? As he was doing in the days of Moses and the rest, you think you can contain him? Only ark, box, cupboard, person touch, person die, not to talk of. The whole presence, shaking the mountains. Bible records, such that he told them, don't go near that mountain. No. Imagine that mightiness arising on your behalf. We shouldn't be too quick to insist on God doing things his own way. But if you calm down and look at how God delivers, it is but mightiness. It is but mightiness. The way he delivers the righteous, the way he provides for the widows, the way he takes care of the fatherless. You know? We We don't pray it for people. But some of us who have survived fathers dying early, we know how it was when they left. Literally, no food for days. No food. You see, fathers are like, you know, they have this agbada. When they're around, everything is always there. Daddy, hey. I mean, Jesus is everyone told us, I'm here with you. Hey, eat as you like now. I'm here, I will cover you. What? Eat. Then one day, Jesus will go. Then you will now see all that Jesus has been doing that you thought was a joke. But God is not like our earthly fathers. Bible records that he does these things or allows them for our own benefit. Right? In Hebrews, he said that we may be a partaker of his holiness. If you will not be part of the children that God deals with, you get weary of his constant, as it were, telling me from the Bible what to do right, chastising me here, beating me. I'm tired of it. Sorry, oh. That's the only way God knows how to identify his children. No? Except you don't want to be part of God. Then you will begin to see these things as painful, as what have I come to Christianity for. But in them, God is expressing his love. In them, God is arising and processing and taking you to the place where he eventually sits down. And you too will be with him. So now we are praising him and seeing the power he expresses because he has arisen on our behalf. Amen? He says in 9, Thou, O God, didst send plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thy inheritance when it was weary. Still talking about what God did for them. In the dry places, David didn't miss it. When they were moving, they needed water. God provided the water. Out of nothing, provided water. When they became weary, became tired. Same thing. This world is not easy. Our daily living is not easy. It takes from us. I don't know what your circumstance is, but I sure know that in one form or another, something in this world is getting you down. Sometimes we pray, Jesus, just come and let this heaviness just stop. Let us know from David's writing. David also recognizes it, but confirms that God provides water, even in the desert. Call on him, and he has arisen on your behalf, he will provide water. You just need to be patient and look to him. You will see the water. Many of us don't even look, because our hearts have been carried away by despair, you know, by measuring yourself with the world. You don't see the miracles that God is doing on a daily basis. Bible says his mercies are new what? Every morning. And I was reading one part in the Bible and they were saying the mercies of God, mercies of God. Do you know what they were talking about? How God was busy replacing those he has called with Gentiles. And the Bible says, look at his mercies. When Paul will say, oh, I cry for the Israel of my flesh. And telling the Gentiles. But not all Israel are Israel. Go and look. All Paul was writing was the mercies of God. Putting you that do not deserve it. Putting you there as his child. That is God's mercy to you. Let us not forget these things. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. God has prepared of his what? Of his goodness for the poor. This part, take it with the three above, is that God foresaw the challenges on the way. He foresaw it. So he prepared. He prepared all that they needed. And Bible says God has provided, given to us all that pertains to what? Life and what? Godliness. When did he prepare it? Was it because you gave your life yesterday to Christ? No. It's the package. It's the package of his rising. It's his package of his working on your behalf. There is no challenge that you can foresee. God has foreseen it and has prepared for it. Be patient with God. Rejoice. He's rising. He's walking. You are coming behind. All the enemies are scattering. All your lack he is providing according to his riches in glory. Amen? Amen. Don't lose faith. These challenges were but trials. You know? One part God will say, let me see how many of them will remain. Maybe they are eating too much manna. Test. And we saw many of them, many times, just die. The way the numbers say human beings plenty, and they just die like flies. 60,000, 70,000. But that's to tell you the seriousness of the God that we serve. Amen? 11, the Lord gave the word. The Lord gave the word. This is like Deborah too. Deborah told Barak, God has spoken. Go and fight. God has spoken. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. God has spoken. His words cannot return what? Void. That's the God we serve. He has gotten up. He's in motion. He's in procession. There is nothing he utters that will not happen. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Great. The company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee. Those who understood. I remember one time, the Israelites were moving, and one king, they just wanted to pass by. He just said, no, don't just come near me, Shah. And now got one prophet. Is it Balaam or so? To come and curse them. And all these things, the Israelites were none the wiser what was going on. This was one of the things that happened in the shadows. These are one of the things that happened in the shadows. And God was there fighting for his righteous. They were not even aware. In his procession, some guy had connived. They want to deal with them. Eh? As the young guy with Elisha, you know? Oh, they're all over the place. So they have come today. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. We need to believe this. God may not necessarily open your eyes like that young man opened his eyes and the guy saw what? He saw chariots of fire. Eh? Chariots of fire. Nine, they protect me. Tell me. Bible says we are hid in Christ, right? And Christ in God. How is it possible? How is it possible that ill can befall you if God didn't permit? This is the God we serve. This is the God that is in procession before us. This is the God that we must follow after. It says, kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoils. This is talking about Deborah's incident. Jael did not go and fight the battle, though. But she got part of this. She got the spoil. In fact, she was the main conqueror. Live unto the Lord. Don't be afraid. Live righteously. Where you are in a battle. The spoils of this battle is heaven. We will get there. The Lord does not forget. He does not forget. All the acts of love and goodness you have shown towards his name. It is true. These are the examples we have to see. That this same God is the same.
Amen.
Though you have lain amongst the pots, yet shall ye be as wings of a dove, covered with silver, and our feathers with fine gold. This was a very difficult portion to look, because the word pots can be a container. In some translation, the word lean can also be like you have taken something hostage. In lean. So you hold it while I will come and retrieve it. Right? And pots tend to be containers of that which is a fact, which is good. So in some sense, if you package it together, those that are of God's righteous people, they have been taken captive. And God will cause them to be free. Hence, you shall be as what? Wings of a dove. Deliverance. Not just that, covered with silver, and our feathers with what? Fine gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in it, it was as white, you know, as snow in Salmon. In this case, Salmon was tied to those judges. Salmon is actually the name of a forest. And it appears that the forest is so dark. The way the interpreter says, it's like God did so good, the goodness of God was so good, that a dark place became what? Became white. That dark forest, full of trees, the Salmon, became as white as snow when God's goodness arose. There is no sin, the Bible records, that God cannot forgive. He is able to wash our sins. They be red as scarlet, but he's able to make them what? White as snow. Repent if there is a challenge or a difficulty. If the Spirit of God has convicted you of a wrong or an evil, God is still there. In all this, Bible records that when he was chastising the Israelites, in one place he said, and God opened his hands. It's like, God, this is your judgment. Did they finish? Like this man that was in the belly of the fish. What's his name now? Jonah wanted it to... You said you would destroy people. You did this. I know now. That's how you are now. Eh? That's what Jonah said. The God that he now comes to know, this God, he messes the infinite. Only that we have a contrite heart. Turn around. Go to him. And God will surely forgive. And we will arise with him in this procession of victory. 15. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan. As high hill as the hill of Bashan. Bashan hill in physical Israel, one of the highest peaks, right? But the comparison here is not that God's hill is as tall as Bashan, but rather where Jerusalem is, where God is, a very lowly place. But if you look at the next verse, 16, why leap ye high hills? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. It is God's business to dwell in Jerusalem. It is God's business to pick you. You may not be as shiny. You may not be as lofty. You may not have all the strength in the world. You may not be as righteous. But all those ones with worldly powers, they will, like these other hills, they too will be jealous. That why would God come and pick a lowly, ugly, looking, sinful person and give salvation to that person? That is what David was writing here. Jerusalem is a very small place compared to Bashan. Glorious, big, but yet it pleases God to come to Jerusalem. You may not be the best Christian, but yet the gift of salvation, it pleases God to give it to you. Praise the Lord. And he says the Lord will dwell in it forever. As many as Christ has been availed for, his blood has been shed for, forever will they be with him.
Don't doubt it. That is the God that we serve. Amen? And it records, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Abi, is that not so? The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, as in the holy place. The Lord is amongst us. His chariots of fire, they are surrounding us. Don't ever think God does not protect you. It's not usually in the way we think. But those who have experienced it, like David, they know that God is around us, protecting his own as chariots of angels. That's why I like Revelation. Because everything one day in Revelation, we will see it physically. You will see the trump of God come, be blown, and the angels will come out, riding on chariots, harvesting. Let your heart be encouraged with these things. If it were not so, the psalmist would not be writing it here. He says, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. This is also, if you read verse 12, verse 13 of that Judges chapter, you will see it's the same thing in the praise. Barak led captivity captive. Those who captured them, they became, the table was turned around on them. They became the captives. And here, it's used in our victory in Christ. The sin that has held us captive, death that has held us captive, devils that have held us captive, Jesus has turned the tables on them. They are now on his own chain, tugging. He's now tugging them. Captivity has become what? Captive. Imagine all that tormented you. God has turned captivity captive. Amen. I will encourage us to read the remainder of this. But I pray that the Lord will have touched our hearts to see him truly in his triumphant procession. All that happens when God arrives, indeed, his enemies scatter and his righteous come behind him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.